A popular Outcast production.
Excellent swimmer. I took music lessons as a teen, and I'm a pretty damn good musician. But the other day, a girl told me, "You know, you eat pussy like a lesbian." Self-taught. Good crowd. So the other night, I was Google images searching mature redheads, because I was looking for something to jerk off to. And, all I kept on coming across was pictures of Sarah McLachlan. Not bad, for the record. I think, though, the worst thing about thinking Sarah McLachlan is so sexy is the awkward boners you get every time you watch a Sad Puppy commercial. Anyone here have a penis?
Yeah.
I see some penises. Well, I do have a penis, also. I'd like to talk about it a little bit. So I have my dick pierced a lot. And there's like some downsides to having your dick pierced so many times. One of those being getting it caught in your cell phone case. Now the upside though to that is the increased cell reception I get. But I think my dick is kind of like Fox News. It's not very big, but it is fair and balanced. It's also kind of uncomfortable with minorities. So has anyone heard of fantasy football? Any fantasy football fans? Boo. I play D&D, so to me, until there's dragons added in fantasy football, they should change the name to Stupid Football Statistics Game for Adults. There's no fantasy there. Alright, I don't know where the kids are here, but just sit tight for a second. I have a joke for the adults. Not trying to talk down, but some of you are actually leaking stem cells right now. So I miss when commercials used to be condescending to sell to people. I don't know if any of you remember an old commercial from Muzzy. For those who don't, Muzzy was this cheap British set of VHS tapes that were cartoons that they would just redub into different languages to teach children that language. I'm out of here. So, okay, so the commercial starts, and you see this little pile of kids chatting, and it has a close-up of this little girl, and she's all, "J'ai suis la jeune fille." Now realize, right off the bat here, this is a young girl saying in French, "I am a young girl." What a bitch. So this woman just ominously floats into frame, and she's like, "That's right, that's French they're speaking." And no, these children aren't French, they're American. Just as condescending as a woman can get. And these commercials ran for 20 fucking years. This is one of the most aired commercials. It works. Condescension works to sell. Let me make that clear. If you don't know it, YouTube it when you go home. You'll have a good laugh, because it's fun. So, a few months ago, I was at a bar, and there's this drunk woman. She's having this verbal battle with another woman, and shit just starts escalating, and it's just getting crazy. We're all trying to calm her down. It's not working. She starts getting physical, so, promptly gets ejected from the bar. Now, cops get called, and they're asking different people for descriptions. And I'm trying to use the word bitch less. I mean, I know I just used it earlier, but like, I don't want to sound too chauvinistic. So the cops are asking for descriptions, then come to me, and they say, how would you describe a woman? I reply with, mildly cunty. Thank you, Bill. So a few weeks ago, I'm hanging in Philly with my friend Jay. He introduces me to a large group of his black friends as, this my nigga Mike. Now, as a white American male, seriously, having a black friend refer to me as his nigga to his black friends, I mean, that is, it's the closest thing I'll ever be to being knighted. I feel like royalty. It's true. So, I don't know if any of you have seen me before, but I actually just recently cut 16 inches of hair off. I thought I was going to try to make myself look less threatening. So now I'm a 6'4", 300-pound man with a shaved head. That's all I got. Have a good night, guys.
So welcome.
Thank you.
To another episode of Mixing Up My Garbage.
As we whisper quietly.
Oh, fuck that. There's no one here. We're coming live from the Twisty Freeze.
Is it Twisty or Tasty?
It's Twisty. The original one was Tasty, but okay. This is Twisty.
It's a twist on an old classic.
So
it begins.
The wordplay begins. So I'm sitting here with very, very special guest. I forgot your name. Shit. I literally just forgot your name. Nick Rehack. God damn it. How the hell did I forgot your name?
We are rocking. This is going to be the highest rated episode. It was great, but he forgot his name in the beginning.
I'm drinking a milkshake.
I have a cherry Pepsi. A wild cherry Pepsi.
This is the first episode I've done now where I actually eat food during the episode. Okay. We're going to see how that goes.
It should be fun. A lot of silence and looking at each other, shaking our heads.
I'm hoping so. I did get a half-pound burger.
It'll translate well for the podcast.
Yeah. So I don't even know what we talked about. Like, I still want to talk about some of like your comedy stuff.
Okay.
But I know like most of like your like personal history shit. It's all on your own podcast, which we can plug later on. Sure. But or you can plug now.
Or later on. It's
yeah. So I said, realistically, they don't need to hear it twice. If they want to hear it, listen to your podcast.
They'll just go, Nick, where have I heard that? Oh, he's the guy that whines all the time about how depressed he is. It's weird because that podcast, like a lot of people will promote their podcast, like at the open mics and stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll say, you know, check them out on Twitter, check out their podcast on the Podcast Network, and all those other stuff. I don't promote mine in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. There's no Facebook page, there's no Twitter. The only Twitter action it gets is when Mike and Bill and Jeff on their Podcast Twitter, it's like, hey, it's Friday, time to get depressed with Nick, like that kind of thing. I mean, for me, it was never just a podcast to... I always did it just for me because I was really fucked up for a time.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't know who to talk to. I've been through, I want to say, 5-6 therapists since high school, and it doesn't work for me. Like, we go through the same topics, and then after like 12 sessions, they're like, well, I think things are fine. I'm like, no, they're not fine. You're supposed to meet up like every 2 weeks and see what's going on and check in. Like, there's a lot of shit that I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things that I haven't, like, that hasn't come to light yet, or like I haven't talked about. Like, I think I touched on it in my last episode. Like, there's one moment in life that I recently just found out about that I could never tell on a podcast because that's like intensely personal. Because it wouldn't deal with me per se, but it's just the effect that I'm here.
Yeah, I got you.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, popularoutcast.com. Look for me and my depression. That's the name of my podcast, and I'm taking a break currently because I need to rework it and figure out like what I want to do. Because a lot of it's been like going to the past and like, well, here, let's look back at this and figure out, you know, did that fuck me up to where I am now? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, I think now is just, okay, we've done looked like the past. We're done and over with that. Now let's just focus on what's going on. So I think it's going to be more of like a Driving with Jeff in Motion, where...
Driving with Jeff.
Where... just week by week, I'm like, I'll just catch up and talk about certain things. Maybe if I had an off day, like why I had that off day or what I've been listening to lately, because maybe that reflects how I'm feeling or that kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting these next couple of days and stuff. So.
Yeah, I took a 2-week break when I moved here just because I was just busy and life was weird.
I saw that this is season 2, right?
This is technically season 2.
S2.
Yeah. And it'll be a season 2 until I decide to take a break again. There's no Amazing sequel.
So the first one was the pilot season. The second one was just going.
Yep, we're in it now. Now we're going to restaurant mode. Or McDonald's play place.
It's do you listen to Doug Loves Movies at all? Mm-hmm. Doug Benson, love his other podcast, Dining with Doug and Karen.
Yeah, I love
or whatever.
It. Love it.
I've yet to listen to it, but I feel like this is what
it's
this
fantastic.
Is. Like we're just talking and eating food. Like, yeah, but, so I'm eating this.
But they actually talk
like...
about the food they eat.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Grant and I are probably going through by accident because it's so goddamn. I love fucking half pound burgers, man. I'm in.
You can't beat it.
Minute to win it.
It's the only way to be.
So, yeah, comedy, though. When did you start that? Why did you start that? Have you talked about this on a podcast yet?
I feel like I've talked about it on other ones, but I love talking about it, so I'll just tell the story. I was living in New Orleans working for a nonprofit rebuilding homes because I'm a good person and I'm white.
You say white or polite?
I'm white. No, that's awful thing to say. No, I was working, and I was at a bar one night. It was Marky's down in the Bywater. And... we're watching March Madness, which is fitting because March Madness is going on now and stuff.
Oh, really? Is that sports?
Sports, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know sports.
Oh, my goodness. These look delicious.
Thank you very much.
But I,
quick pause. We just got our food.
Yep.
What did you get?
I got pepperoni rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Or pepperoni roll-ups, and it's just what you think. It's dough, cheese, and pepperoni wrapped up. I got some marinara sauce that is warm, and oh, man, it is just right. Rarely will you find a just right marinara sauce. Normally it's cold, or it's just it's too saucy, it's too tomatoey, too liquidy. This is on time.
Nice. I got a half pound burger with all the shit on it. And I also got a thing of cheese fries. And a giant chocolate milkshake.
And it's literally just french fries with cheese on it.
Yep. The way cheese fries are supposed to be. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh my god, fuck yeah.
Damn it.
I'm in.
I'm gonna get up and get a napkin real quick.
Alright, I'm gonna go ahead.
Pander.
Yeah. I'll cut this part out.
You're gonna need more than one napkin, but I got you one anyway. We might have to do a two-parter where we start here and then like maybe do a Jeff in motion and drop around and talk because there's a lot of people in here all of a sudden.
Yeah, I get that.
But we'll talk until it gets too noisy. So it was March Madness, and my buddy Mike at the time, he's still my buddy, but when we were down there at the time, he was like, yeah, I'm looking at this team. I don't know a thing about basketball. And I was like, oh, that team's not going to win. This one's going to blow them out of the water. He's like, yeah, what do you want to bet? And most bets at that time, because we were so broke, was if I win, you pay the bar tab tonight. And if you win, I'll pay the bar tab tonight. So I'm going to start, all right, if I win, you pay the bar tab tonight. He's like, and if I win, you have to do stand-up. I was like, what?
What an odd thing.
Yeah, he's like, dude, he's like, you're always telling jokes, you're always goofing off.
I was going to say, have you guys ever talked about stand-up previously at this point, or is this just like a completely random thing?
It was, to him it was completely random, but for me, my cousin Chad used to do stand-up all the time, and I would write jokes for him, and we'd work on material, and he'd go around the local places in Baltimore doing stand-up there. He even got the ear of one of the local comics, Justin Schlegel, which, if you don't know his name, you got to look him up. He's one of the funniest people ever. Like, he's one of my comedy, like, idols. He's on the radio now down in Baltimore on 98 Rock. But he was instrumental in getting Chad in on, like, other gigs and going to places with him. So I would just tag along, like, laugh, and I could see all these different comedians, all these different styles. And I got to write, so I started behind the scenes writing for him. So a lot of the jokes that I... Not a lot of the jokes, but a lot of the jokes I tell are derivations on, like, topics that he used to do, too. So, and some of the jokes I've written, he's actually performed them, so I know they work. So, like, when I go to Min Mom and I bust out a joke, I'm like, I know this is going to work. And I'm going to hit these spots here, and I might even add something here or something there. But...
I think we're going to pause this.
Okay.
So we're going to pause quick. We'll resume later in my car, probably. Because it's getting loud in this bitch. Peace.
All right. So, part two.
Yeah, so we're back.
We left the restaurant because there was, like, I guess some soccer tournament let out.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
And all the teams were like, we're getting ice cream.
And then we started talking about awful movies. We started talking about Human Centipede 2.
Lars von Trier films,
yeah,
Antichrist.
A table of kids.
So they're going to have nightmares. We're currently just driving around.
Yep.
We're doing a Jeffrey in motion, if you will.
Jeffrey.
I wonder how many people call him Jeffrey, or if they just call him Jeff.
I don't know anyone who calls him. I've known him for years. I don't know anyone who ever called him Jeffrey.
Like, no one ever, unless I'm in trouble, like, no one ever calls me Nicholas. Like,
But so back to comedy.
Yes.
So you got dared to do a comedy thing.
Yep, I got dared. It was March Madness. I lost a bet. I was at Marquis Bar in New Orleans in the Bywater. A friend of mine said, you know, we had a bet. The typical bets back then were if I won, someone paid the bar tab, and if they won, I paid the bar tab. Because mm-hmm. we were broke as shit, and we could just barely afford the beer we were drinking. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, we'll do that. But this time around, he mixed it up. And I was like, all right, Mike, if I win, you pay the bar tab. He's like, all right, if I win, you got to go do stand-up on a date of my choosing. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll take that bet. Fine. I lost horribly. Like, this team, I picked the most dog shit team. If there was an opposite Cinderella, that was the team I picked. Like, my team was the Legends of the Fall of basketball. Just the most, and just when you think it's over, spoiler alert, fucker gets eaten by a bear. Like, plain and simple. So I lost the bet, and he says, all right, you have to go 2 Fridays from now. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that the 2 Fridays from then was April 1st, April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got to find the venue, and I'll provide the people. I'm like, don't say that. I'm like, I don't want people coming up and seeing this. So I found a local place called the La Nuit Comedy Theater. I called him up. They had an open mic that was at 11 o'clock at night. They got a, oh, this is a four-way stop, so you just take it.
Oh, is it a four-way?
Yeah, it's a four-way.
Oh, I thought they could go that way.
No. So it was the Lonnie Wee Comedy Theater. I called him up. I said, hey, the open mic tonight, how does that work? They're like, yeah, just show up a half hour before, talk to the MC, and go from there. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get there. I tell Mike, I'm like, I'm going to be at the Lonnie Wee Comedy Theater, this, that, and the other thing. He's like, all right, I'll be there. I'll make sure I have everybody there. I'm like, don't bring everybody. Mm-hmm. He ended up bringing like 15, 20 people. I'm like, you rat fucker, you. Like, why would you do this to me? And the MC, who I became friends with, and he hooked me up at other venues in New Orleans, and he even got me my first paying gig doing stand-up, Jackie mm-hmm. Jenkins Jr., right?
That's a good name.
This motherfucker was always high. And for the longest time, he didn't know my last name. He just knew I was Nick. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, motherfucker won't tell me his last name. We can't be friends on Facebook, all this other stuff. Like, always goofing around. And I'd always be outside just, like, you know, getting some fresh air before leaving. And he would always say to me, hey, man, you want to smoke? No, no, Jackie, I'm fine. Thank you. We've been over this. I'm thank you. All right, man, I'll get you next time. No, you won't, because I don't smoke before I get on stage. And so he introduced me. I go up on stage. And I did a bit that I worked on with my cousin, who used to do stand-up. I used to write for him. Mm-hmm. And it was all about figures of speech. And I segued into, because it was Friday, I quoted the Rebecca Black song Friday. And then I ended with my Monster Truck jam bit, where I do an impression of the Monster Truck voice. Oh, yeah, yeah. What it'd be like, you know, outside of that job, working at a bank or doing karaoke and stuff. I finished with a joke that I haven't done since. It's about a guy that has a really bad stutter while having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fucking hilarious. And but I did that, and then I just walked off stage. He gave me 5 minutes. I did everything in like 3. Walked off stage, went outside, and immediately threw open the bushes.
Oh, yeah?
Like, just the nerves. But I tell you what, as soon as I threw up, I was like, I need that again.
Yeah.
I need to find that thrill, that adrenaline. So I went back every single week.
That's awesome.
And then he started getting new venues. Like, hey, man, we're at 12 Bar on Tuesdays. So every Tuesday, I was at 12 Bar. Every Friday, I was at Lana Week. And I just started finding more and more clubs. And then he started having, like, not open mics, but, like, actual feature nights, like, lineups. Like, with Min Mom's going to start doing the Presents thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what he did. But he was doing it at Maisons and at DBA. And these are some big clubs on, like, Frenchman Street.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if you ever go to New Orleans, everyone's like, go to Bourbon Street. No, fuck that. Bourbon Street is for all the touristy idiots.
Yeah.
The place to go is Frenchman. That's the coolest, hippest street in the French Quarter. There's some of the best music's there. Some of the best food is there. They got a Rasta bar with a taco truck in the back. When's the last time you heard of a Rasta bar? And it's just, you got like a reggae band just in the middle of the dance floor playing, and people are just like dancing and grooving and shit. Like, I saw these two girls making out. I'm like, this is amazing, this place.
I have no idea where I'm going, by the way.
Authorized vehicle only, so we should probably turn around.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, that was the first time I did stand-up, and I chased that feeling ever since. So, Mike Thacker, if you're listening, on every April Fool's Day, I always make a Facebook status to point it out, like, look, if it wasn't for Mike Thacker, I wouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's true. If he would have never have dared me, I probably would have never have done it. And because I'd done it and started doing stand-up in front of, like, total strangers, I wouldn't even tell my friends when I'd go sometimes, just to see if I can make other people laugh.
Yeah.
And to be able to read a crowd like that, that's helped a lot. To be able to form first, I've done, I don't want to say black rooms, but I've done a few black rooms mm-hmm. where clearly, like, my humor and my references wouldn't go over that well.
Sure.
So I got to tweak some things and make it and make it work. And sometimes I just go, you know what? Fuck these people. I'm going to tell the jokes I want to tell. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to do some new stuff and just work.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm impressed. This is a good place to pause. I'm going to make a phone call real quick.
Okay. How do I pause?
Just press stop.
Stop. All right, and back to part three.
And we're back. Yeah, so I was driving around the college.
We're at,
where are we at?
SU.
We're at SU.
Susquehanna University.
Susquehanna University.
Home of the, I don't know what, I don't know.
The Susquehanna Seahawks. Big fans of alliteration here. They adore alliteration. Absolutely adore alliteration.
Susquehanna Seahawks. I like that.
Maybe they're the Bears. I feel like mountainous people were like, oh, Bears.
I'm pretty sure it's some form of, like, racist Native American figure, to be honest.
The Susquehanna Big Chief Running Bull.
Yeah, pretty much.
Susquehanna. I'm going to look it up.
All right, good.
And while I'm looking it up, what made you want to do comedy?
Stand-ups?
Like, yeah, why did you do the stand-ups?
I don't know. I mean, I always liked comedy. I just like comedy. I like funny stuff. I like to laugh. I like making people laugh. I like to talk. So, I always wanted to do it, and I just never had a place or a knowledge of how to do it or where to do it. And then I started listening to a lot of, like, comedy podcasts, like WTF. And
good one.
Yeah, it's like a lot of podcasts about the ins and outs of comedy, as opposed to just funny podcasts. Mm-hmm. And that just made me want to do it even more, and then I had a decent idea of how to get started, but just where I was living, it didn't seem like it was going to be a feasible thing for a while until I would actually move somewhere to where, like, a city, more of a city-ish kind of place. And then the pop-out guys started doing their open mic, and so I'm like, oh, well, fuck, I'm going to go there and try out. I wrote a bunch of jokes, like, back in, I don't want to say back in the day, because I hate when people say that shit, but, like, I've written some jokes throughout the last few years, and just because I like writing jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, that milkshake. Shit. So, yeah, so once the open mic came around, I had a couple jokes already written, and I wrote some more for that, and then I just loved doing it. Like, my first couple sets were really hacky and shitty. Not that the current ones aren't. But they're less hacky and shitty than the first ones were.
I still think they're funny. Like,
well, I'm glad you do. I appreciate it. It's, thank you. But I forget what you say during compliments. Thank you is appropriate.
Thanks you. That's normally the starter. The starter compliments the thank you.
But yeah, so I just like making people laugh. It's fun. I like making people happy.
My big thing has always been, if I can just make one person laugh and forget about their cares and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm fine. Like, I've done my job. You know what I mean? I made it work. Made it happen. Made it happen.
Wait, I think he's here.
Oh. Are we taking another pause, or are we just, nah, fuck it.
Oh, nah, fuck it.
We're mixing it up. Is that disc golf? People play fucking frisbee golf here? Oh, by the way, looked it up. Susquehanna University?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to guess... It doesn't start with an S. There's no alliteration here.
It's not the Seahawks.
It's not the Seahawks. It's not the Seagulls.
Susquehanna. I'm going to say Braves.
Crusaders.
Crusaders?
Crusaders.
I lived in this town for give or take 26 years. Never knew that. I mean, I never went to SU, but like...
Today still. I learned. And a dog? It sure is.
That.
I don't know what the fuck else they would be.
That's actually a small horse.
It's a pony.
Yeah, he's at his dorm.
Interesting.
Yep. I was like, where are you? In my dorm room, .. Reply, come outside.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he went here.
Yeah.
That makes sense,
actually,
though.
I didn't know he went here until,
I just thought he would just come from New Jersey every time, and I'm like, damn, dude. Like, that's gotta be a... Because New Jersey, it's just fucking tolls everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not saying it's the worst kind of people, but it's just a lot of tolls. Like, I wouldn't want to fuck with that.
I've only been to Jersey once. I mean, like, not, like... Like, I've driven through Jersey, but I never went there with the destination once. Probably about 10 years ago, Dylan from Serving Ice Podcast.
Glacier Talk.
Was it?
Not Glacier.
Moving Glaciers.
Moving Glaciers.
Yeah, from Dylan, myself, and some mutual friends went to Red Bank to go visit Janice on Bob's Secret Stash.
Nice.
And to go to the Quick Stop Mart.
I think you told me that story.
Yeah, VST Video.
Mm-hmm.
RST Video.
And he picked up that copy of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Did he?
Yeah, and then he went, and at some point, like, he met Kevin Smith and got him to sign the copy. Yeah,
he went with that with Justin Strawson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't go with him for that.
Oh.
Yeah, we met Walt Flanagan, though.
Nice. I bet you guys had a lot in common.
Yeah, I mean, this
is... New Orleans Hall, boo.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like New Orleans to me.
Because it's not underwater. What? That's awful.
Boo.
Well, no, I went back there and helped clean up the shit and rebuild homes. I can say it. That's where we ought to fuck around, is right there in that grill.
I'm not even asking him, I'm just telling him.
Come outside.
So I can punch fuck you.
I said that last night. About fuck you. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear your impression of me so fucking bad. It's really good.
Oh, like, thank you.
For the record, you do, like, Dylan used to do an impression on me, and I thought it was awful.
For those that aren't in the know, last night's been mom.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
We can. When I went up on stage, I went up with a blank canvas. I didn't really know what I was going to talk about. I heard you talking, and I don't know, I just started talking, you know, just with a deeper register, and I talked about, like, really metal shit, you know? And, I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to goof around and do this, what the fuck, Hong Kong, Jakarta, Kathmandu, where the, Granada, what the hell kind of names for halls is this?
Yeah, I know.
What are we, in the third world dorm district? I don't understand. Granada, wasn't that a war, Granada, or Grenada?
I'm asking what hall.
Yeah. What anyway, hall? Was doing an impression of Mike last night, so that's why we're talking about, not making fun, but... just overemphasizing your actions and your stature, if you will.
Oh, no, I think it's hilarious.
So I was saying stuff like...
I love when people make fun of me. I think it's hilarious.
I don't remember if I said this or not, because my memory is dog shit. But I'm pretty sure I wanted to say something like, if that train comes by, tries to interrupt my set, I'm going to punch fuck it. I know one thing I said was like...
I finger fuck camels. They get it. My dick is pierced 8 times because there is no God.
I talked about how with the hat you're wearing, you look like the most brutal barista ever.
Just like, so you want iced coffee, you want a shot of blood in it? My favorite Pop-Tart flavor is metal.
Just like goofy off the wall shit.
Oh, God, it's so fun.
And then I started chanting white power, so that was... So if you get the chance, youtube.com/menmomofficial, MNMOM official.
Oh, God, that's fun.
You can see what prompted that.
I want to do a Mon Mom roast so fucking bad. I think that'd be the most fun thing in the world.
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of an exclusive here on the podcast. These next couple Min Moms, as I show up, I'm not going to be me.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to be a character.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm not going to tell you who or what.
Oh, yeah.
But... It's going to be exciting. What did he say?
I just said, where are you? He said, I'm coming. And I said, what hall? And he still didn't reply.
If you bang a right, I think I saw him.
Oh, really?
I mean, I could be wrong. Nope, it's a girl.
Nope.
I honestly thought that was him walking out.
Every SU student looks alike. Are you Andrew Smith? You want to interview her?
I saw her last night. Oh my God, I saw her last night. After we rolled early, so we missed the last three people, and I bummed because it was Emerus, Kevin, and Bill, and I love hanging around for Bill's set.
Yeah.
But we left early, and we went to McGwiggins.
McGiggles.
And that girl was at the bar.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. We were just hanging out getting Guinnessy, or Guinness-eye. That means more than one Guinness. And
that's where I'm at. I'm so confused, he says. I'm telling him Alice Springs Hall.
Or Buenos Aires. What the hell? Who named these things? Name it like the names of trees in the area, like pine or oak. You know what I mean? Appalachian.
Them classy shits.
For dirt. Don't be... Alice Springs? What the hell is Alice Springs?
You say dirt?
Dirt. Cape Town? Dakar? These are places that these people will never go to.
Wait, you can make phone calls on this now, can't you?
What?
Does this work?
Does what work?
Doesn't Facebook Messenger now have a call service?
That's a great question.
I mean, I could have called him on his actual cell phone, but I don't know his number. Maybe I do.
We got Cape Town Hall to Car Hall. Some nice looking apartments, though.
Yeah, this actually used to be like low-income housing.
I'm not surprised.
And then they kicked all the people out.
Of course they
and
did.
Made it
get out of here.
Yeah, and they made it dorm rooms for college students.
Is that him?
Oh, oh.
Found him. We spotted him.
Ha ha!
Gotcha, bitches.
Ha ha! Just want to hit him.
Jesus.
I moved. I realized once I got outside that you wouldn't have known that.
No, fun fact, I did not know that. I like this asshole.
Fun fact,
to get...
that fact's not as fun as you think it is.
So, we're here with another extra special guest, Andrew Smith.
Hey, what's up? What's Gucci?
Hey, man.
We're recording right now, just so you know.
I didn't think Nick just, you know, walked around with a tape recorder.
You ever see Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
There you go.
I only got
Diane, the cherry pie here at the diner.
I only got this season one, but damn, it's so good.
Oh, it is so good.
We finally finished it. Me and my friends used to do Twin Peaks Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
We got together every Thursday, and each week somebody would bring donuts from somewhere.
Why is this a dead
end? Because we're in Jakarta. Why? Dude. Who named these halls?
Yeah,
man?
No shit.
I have no fucking clue.
Hey, great set last night.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I missed both of your sets.
I was telling Mike, like, it was one of the most perfect comedy sets, like, in the true comedy aspect. You had callbacks. It segued and everything. It couldn't have been a more perfect set.
Thank you.
Definitely buttered your bread pretty hard. I'm really excited to hear it.
Well, I was so pumped about your set just because you told me you went up cold and you were still fucking hilarious, and that's, like, the one thing I can't imagine doing. It's like just going up there with no material.
Oh, I couldn't imagine that.
And like not falling back on doing like if I went up there with no material, I'd do a joke. I just know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's hard to do too, because you're just so you're used to that comfort. You're like, I know this will get a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And while they're laughing, I can think of something.
Yeah.
Or I can bounce off of whatever.
Is there where we can go, Andrew, to sit?
Like on campus?
Oh, I mean preferably.
Yeah. Well, we want to go just to the same place we were last time?
Sure, where's that at?
Just park at the campus center and then we'll walk.
I don't know where that is. So just tell me where to go.
All right, just continue up this road. Welcome to Mike Carpenter's podcast, where he gets directions.
Mike gets directions?
Someone give Mike Carpenter directions.
Welcome to the GPS cast.
Make a left.
And 50 feet, turn left.
I'll appreciate your snark.
Don't you?
No, I do.
Wasn't that a cartoon show? The Snarks? The
Snorks.
They're just real assholes the whole time. Oh. That was dumb.
I get it. Humor.
Now, are these off campus for students as well? Like people rent them out? Or?
I'm sure that they do, but this next year they are not letting anybody live off campus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The way the school works is that you can't live off campus unless they release you to live off campus.
That's stupid.
And you cannot commute unless you are living with a parental guardian.
Now, parental guardian, does that have to be someone over a certain age, or
I
they have
to
be
like... You have to be related to them, too. Like, I think it's real strict.
Weird.
Like, they have to see your birth certificate?
And then just park in this
yeah, we're just going to that building, right?
We're going to go over to the music building over there.
Ooh.
And then we'll get in a soundproof booth.
Isn't there a place to park over there?
No.
Okay, then. I just had a half-pound burger, is what I'm trying to say.
And you're going to have to hoof it a little bit.
And
some french fries with cheese. I had pepperoni roll-ups. And they're just what they eat. What do you think it is?
This podcast.
That's reserved.
Was not
you're
going to
get towed.
Fuck.
Here we go, visitors. We're visiting.
Yeah.
Right here. Nailed it. This is like almost
This is the angle you want to be parking at, too. This is the way you want to make this park. This is how you want to come in on it.
You know what, man?
Mike Harper's podcast, where we do mainly visual bits.
Look,
there's a Pepsi can over there. Don't back up yet. Public safety's coming through.
God damn it.
She's shaking her head at you, too. Well, like, look at this fucking guy. Right.
She's like, this asshole does not know how to park. Where the fuck is he from?
You know what? I'm not parking here.
So
just leave your car anywhere.
Just park right here. We're done. Park where she was at.
If you put your car in park, you're technically parked.
We were at a spot. Don't go this way. There's an arrow pointing the opposite direction. Breaking the rules with Mike Carpenter.
Now the angles are going to be way against you.
Oh, that's faculty staff parking.
Yeah, straight. I park it all the time.
Public safety's coming at us.
Coming in hot.
She's not a fan of yours.
She already.
Jeez.
Ask her where you can park.
No, I don't want to talk to anybody.
We're parked. Jesus Christ.
Break number five. This is where we're going on to our fifth segment.
Yeah, we'll break. Let's break.
Stop.
Hey, guys. I have a secret for you. If you go to popularoutcast.com and click on the purple banner for Amazon and clear your cookies first, you can go to Amazon.com and buy all the fucking shit you want. And we get a little taste of the profits. Oh, God, the profits. We'll make so much fucking money and we can buy new microphones and buy new cars and buy a cruise ship and live like fucking kings. So help us out. Click the fucking banner. We love you. Bye.
So we're back. We're at another location now. Again. And with a new person. Well, I guess you were kind of on that last part.
I was all over that last part.
But now we're here with Andrew Smith also.
Woo!
As well as the Nick Rehack.
Still here.
Whose name I forgot.
He did.
We started his name here with, oh God, I forgot your name. Like, I legitimately forgot your name.
So we were talking about comedy stuff. Andrew, yeah. Why did you want to get into comedy?
I really... Chris was like, I'm going to do stand-up, and I was like, he was like, you should do it too, and I was like, I guess so. I think I just always thought I was funny. And I mean, like, I was saying in our big Pod Palace chat, mm-hmm. when I was a kid, we used to listen to, like, Cosby's old records, mm-hmm. and, like, me and my brother would run around, because Cosby's, like, all story-related,
yeah.
and normally, like, insane story-related. Me and my brother, like, run around enacting, like, the shit the kids are doing in his bits,
yeah.
and, like, so that's, like, and I started watching Seinfeld when I was, like, 10, not understanding most of the euphemisms and shit, so, like, it's just, like, something that's, I think, been, something I wanted to do, I guess.
I thought I could do, maybe.
So as a kid, would you say, like, Bill Cosby and Seinfeld were your influences?
Yeah, definitely.
Who are your influences?
I was just going to ask you the same.
Because I want to save mine for last, because you're not going to believe who I used to listen to as a kid.
When I was a kid, I mean, like, I liked, fuck, I don't even know. Like, when I was, like, I'm trying to think, like, when I actually started, like, watching stand-up, like, as a thing. And it was always, like, just, like, weirder people. Like Mitch Hedberg. Who, like, I'm not even, like, is it Hedberg or Hedberg?
Hedberg.
Okay, I can't pronounce names. I liked him. I liked Carlin and stuff. Mm-hmm. Jackie Martling? Was his name Jackie the Joke Man Martling? The guy that was on Howard Stern's show for the mm-hmm, longest time?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Kinison. I used to love Sam Kinison. I don't know, just, like, dirty. I like dirty comics. They were my favorites.
Growing up, mm-hmm. I listened to nothing but Jeff Foxworthy. I had all his albums, I had all the Blue Comedy tours, and it wasn't until, like, the end of middle school when I started seeing Comedy Central Presents mm-hmm. and seeing, like, the Sklar Brothers and Zach Galifianakis mm-hmm. and Mitch Hedberg, some Nick Swartz and some of those early things, I'm like, oh, this is what comedy is.
Like, yeah. I will say this... Like, when I was a kid, we listened to Bill Cosby records, and then I watched Seinfeld, but not with a mind, like, that was stand-up, mm-hmm. or, like, that was from stand-up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what got me back into, like, watching or wanting to watch actual stand-up was the Dane Cook craze when I was in middle school.
Everyone.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Like, that was actually high school.
Oh, yeah?
I was going to say, that was, like, I don't even know when that...
And then it was just, like, after that, it was, like, I would sit around and listen to that with friends. Like, we'd listen to CD.
Mm-hmm.
And then just looking on, like, just try to find whenever there's comedy on Comedy Central and watch it.
Yeah. Also, Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
I had an old Eddie Murphy fan that I used to listen to all the time as a kid. Yeah.
When I went through the Dane Cook craze like everybody else. Mm-hmm. After Rough Around the Edges, that was, to me, a disappointing album, just because I think how it was mixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I always went back to Vicious Circle, because
mm-hmm.
to me, that was, like, his best. That was his peak. It was a DVD he released before it became, like,
the
an
only
album
one of his that I actually know is, like, the one where he does, like, the snakey. He talks about being a snake.
That was his Comedy Central Presents.
Okay.
He didn't even do that on his albums. Like,
that's a
Heartful of Swallowed and Retaliation.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of the Dane Cook.
I liked it, and then I just, because after that, I'm like, okay, this is nice and all, and everyone started to hate him, and I'm like, yeah, I hate him too.
Now
I have to find, like, weird shit to listen to, so then I got into, like, Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter, like Stella.
So I like Dan Cook as an actor. I think he's a good actor, and I think he can be funny. I just never really got into his stand-up. I liked him when he was on, like, various podcasts. When he was on WTF, I thought he was great.
I've downloaded that episode, but I've yet to listen to it. I went back and downloaded those episodes, the Louis C.K. ones and the Robin Williams ones.
Louis C.K. ones are fantastic.
I'm sure they're amazing, because Mark Maron is Mark Maron, and so of course they had to hash out some shit first.
Well, yeah, and it's fantastic. But, yeah. Oh, man.
The sounds of silence.
No. Oh, no. Quick, play the piano again.
I turned it off.
Ragtime.
Yeah, play me off, Johnny.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from here.
Dumb comedies.
Yeah.
What do people talk about? What do people talk about? I don't know. One thing I was just thinking, because I just realized this when you were asking me, it's weird to me that I listen, like, because then after I was listening to Dane Cook, I think the next guy I really got into was Jim Gaffigan, which is another clean comic.
Yeah.
And it's weird to me that I'm like pretty dirty. I wouldn't say I'm like you like are kind of like, it seems.
I just like raunchy.
Yeah.
I like raunchy humor. Similar. I just think it's funny.
But
talking about nasty, gooey things.
And like when I hear Seinfeld talk about how, and certain clean comics talk about how like it's definitely harder to get a clean laugh. Like I kind of agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I mean, I don't think I could tell a clean joke. I just don't know. Like, to me, it wouldn't be funny to me. Like, I can't think of something in my head that's clean and funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think it would work. And I swear a lot in normal life, like in real life.
Yeah, I curse all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could not curse on stage. Like, even if I tell a clean joke, I would just slip some fucks in anyway. Just because, like,
that's
fucking
that's the way. That's the way you talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the way you describe things.
Bad parenting.
It's weird, because my cousin, like, he used to listen to my stuff, and he's like, you were very polarizing. Like, what do you mean I'm polarizing? He's like, the shit you talk about. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I always thought like it was fine. Like, I was like, okay. And then I look back, I'm like, okay, I'm telling rape jokes, abortion jokes, jokes about dogs, choking themselves while masturbating. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That's the other thing. Like, me and Bill went to do the Garfield open mic the first time. We get there at 7, realize it's mainly a music open mic. The venue is horrible because it's a U-shaped bar facing the opposite direction of where the performers are. We get there, and we're sitting at a booth. Me, Bill, and Ashley, and
sweating bullets,
and no, just being like, we're just not going to go up, like we're just not doing this. And on one side of us, and on the other side, like, the two booths on the other side, just like tables of families with like 4 to 5 year old kids.
Well, yeah,
and we're like, we're not going up. We're not going
them, because I'm like, so it's at Garfield's, and because they asked me if I wanted to perform for when they started doing the show there, I'm like, but realize it's Garfield's. Like, I'm not going to be able to say what I want to say there. And they're like, no. We're allowed to.
Yeah, you are.
I'm like, how is that possible? Like, because if they're going to bring, like, kids are allowed to be there. Like, you can bring your 7-year-old kids there. I shouldn't be allowed to say cunt.
In front of your 7-year-old.
On a microphone. In front of, exactly, in front of 7-year-old kids. Like, I don't know how that works.
One of the worst sets in my life was at this place called Jilly's. The open mic no longer exists. And the way the bar was set up is you had a bar, and then you had, like, a step up, and then more steps, and there was, like, a raised plateau almost, and there was tables up there. Well, that's where the comics perform. So we pretty much performed from the balcony from Evita to the crowd at the bar below. But while we're performing this particular night, I think it's, like, the second or third night, the guy that ran the show, T-Brad, was like, hey, do you want to come on? I'm like, why not? It's more time. Like, fine.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on stage, during the first performance, the manager runs over, if we could do it clean, there's a middle school party upstairs. I was like...
Right before you're going to go on stage?
Right before I'm going to go on stage, I'm like, all right, I'll make this work. And as the first comics were going, like, there were some kids upstairs, like, creeping over. Like, you can see from the balcony, they're looking to see what's going on. And so I got up, I'm like, hey, where are those kids at? And they all just fly to the balcony. I was like, I got some jokes for you guys. And, like, I could see the promoter, T-Brad, is just like, what are you doing? Like, do not fuck this up. And I started telling those oranges jokes.
Yeah.
And but rather than, I'm like, when an orange has sex with another orange, or no, when an orange has sex with an apple, there's no comparison. When orange has sex with another orange, it's called incest. Right? And, like, some of the people are chuckling. The kids are like, they don't get it. I'm like, you're going to get it in high school. Don't worry about it. Like, just playing with them.
Yeah.
And then, like, talking slower so my time could fill out. And then trying to find, like, my cleaner one-liner jokes, because I was going to do bits.
But when you're standing, I know they can't see the podcast, but when you're standing and if you're covered from here down, you look like a fucking puppet just up there. Yeah. You're not doing story bits or movement and action. You're doing one-liners the whole time. Yeah. Like, it was a
Is there one joke that has bombed worse than any other joke? Like, if you ever, like, had told one joke that just completely flopped? I'm asking you the same thing. I don't know if you ever, like, did, like, a... I don't remember, like, ever bombing, per se, but...
I do a bit, and I'm going to do it on the album, where I talk about... I did this around New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, and stuff like that, and, like, you know, people getting a fresh start, coming up with New Year's resolutions. And I talk about an abortion clinic, kind of cleaning up its image, and treating it not so much like an abortion clinic, but more like a TGI Fridays, where there's props on the wall, the doctors are real cool, like, hey, you know, see, it's dinner for two tonight, ha, 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 you know, we got a booth over here, and, like, treating it kind of like a... you know, like a real atmosphere type place. Well, I'm doing these jokes, and there's a lot of abortion material in there. And I go and I talk about this joke about a tree abortion and that kind of thing. I'm doing this at Delia Foley's in Federal Hill in Baltimore. And I'm telling the joke, and it's silence. There's one guy at the bar like, ah, it's funny, dude. Like, he's laughing. I'm like, really having a good time. And I tell some other jokes, and it gets the crowd laughing again, and I walk off stage. And I walk over, I'm like, man, what the fuck just happened? And the guy's like, oh, this is a Republican bar.
Awesome.
You couldn't have told me before I went on stage? Like, I'd have talked about porn or something, man. Like, don't let me go up there and do abortion jokes the whole time. But
that's fun.
So that was rough, but I got through it. And another time, it was more just the night. It was the night of the first rapture that was supposed to happen. And I went to the La Nuit Comedy Theater. And it was myself and six other people in the room. And when I say six other people, that's not counting the comics that were in the back. It was some random dude in a trench coat, some other guy, my roommate, his girlfriend, and then my bosses from the nonprofit that I worked for. Now, these people are CEOs. They make a lot of money a year, and one of them was a CNN hero. A CNN hero, and I'm starting out with rapture jokes of, like, nuns being fisted by priests. And I'm just like, this night, I don't even sit on the mic. I'm like, this is one of the worst nights of my life. And the one CEO was like, nah, you're doing good, Nick. I'm like, I'm not, sir. You don't understand. This is not good right now. And I got off stage because I told a lot of pornography jokes. I told jokes that you're used to hearing me tell.
Sure.
And the one, the boss, she was like, well, that was different. You know, it's, I'm glad to see you get up there and do that kind of thing. It's a shame there wasn't more people. And I'm like, there normally is a lot more people. But I guess they heard you two were coming. They're like, let's fuck with Nick today.
That's awesome.
I would like, do you feel like there's more value in going up and knowing it's not your crowd and doing like material you always do?
Oh, yeah.
Or like what you said with the Republicans, or, like being told to Republican reform and being like, oh, I'll tell jokes to cater to them. What do you think is more valuable?
I think more valuable is going up and doing the jokes that you normally tell and it's just strangers.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned earlier, when I, after a while of doing stand-up and everything, I would stop telling my friends when I was performing. Mm-hmm. So this way, when I would go, it was just complete strangers. It was people I didn't know. Occasionally, you got a regular that kind of knew who you were and knew your material. But if I can go up there and just tell a joke and then have it land really well, I'm like, okay, so this is funny universal.
Yeah.
How can I make the bit better? How can I make the joke stronger? And then you go back and work on it. As far as going into a room that I'm not used to, like, I've done a couple black rooms. I hate to say it like that, but rooms where the crowd's completely black. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to tell the jokes I want to tell. And after a while, if I'm not getting certain laughs, I'm like, okay, this is where learning to read the room comes in. They're like, you want to do well, but you also want to stick to your guns pretty much. You go, these are the jokes I want to tell. But if you're not doing that well, you're not getting laughs you want, like, all right, let me step back until I know what works. And make sure it does, you know, because maybe it doesn't work with everybody, but when universally, like, you have that material that works, it's fantastic. But it's that new material. That, like, there's some nights where I go out and all I want to do is new material. And if the first joke doesn't land, I've been known to go back and just do, like, old routines and old sets. But I've gotten so much better at, you know what? I'm doing all new jokes, and if they don't like it, well, that's too bad. The next time I'm sure they'll enjoy it. And it's happened. I've gone and done brand new jokes. Crowd didn't like it. A month later, was at a different place, did those exact same new jokes, and they died, like it killed.
Yeah.
So it's real, like, back and forth, but to me, the ultimate is going into a crowd of strangers, telling jokes, and then just nailing every single one.
Now, like, if you tell a joke and it just falls flat,
mm-hmm.
do you address it?
Depends on the crowd. If there's a follow-up to that joke, I'll do the follow-up. But if it doesn't work, I'm like, well, I will never tell that joke again. Okay. Fuck each and every one of you. And they start laughing, and then I get into, like, some playful bits. And there's been some nights, too. It happened recently, just before Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the night before. Mm-hmm. I was at High Tops
It's a bar out in Towson, Maryland, and I'm watching some other comics go up, and they're all doing long-form story jokes, and none of it's landing. Like, the crowd just isn't into it. And I'm like, well, I'm going to mix this up, and I'm going to do one-liners first to get their attention, and then when I know that I have them, that's when I'll do the long-form joke. Mm. And someone that's a little bit newer might just go, well, that's not working for them, but I'm going to go ahead and do mine anyway because it might be funny. But if you can read the crowd and say, okay, that's not working, get them on your side first, and then do what you want to do, mm-hmm. it makes you look like a pro. And then everyone else is like, how the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, it was simple. They weren't laughing at the long stuff, you make them short. So they went up there, I'm like, okay, clearly you guys don't have the attention span for the long jokes, so let's do short ones. And like that night back in, I want to say December, or maybe November, where I was just one liner and just like destroyed.
The night where you're playing the horn afterwards.
I did half of those jokes, got them on my side, and then did the long story bits, and they were on board because they knew I could deliver with everything else.
Have you ever used the horn thing anywhere else?
No, I've only done it with you guys.
That's so fucking funny.
See, I consider my mom to be like the most alternative room I've ever done, so yeah. I'm okay with like doing shit. And I just told Mike earlier, giving an exclusive on the podcast, but these next couple of moms, I'm not going as myself. I'm going to be going as characters and doing different bits that way.
Well, see, when you did the whole sermon thing,
he's going to come back.
I love that.
He's so good.
Yeah. He's going
to
come back.
I had to follow that.
That's always been a thing. Like, I don't want to follow Mike, and I know he doesn't want to follow Mike.
I don't know why.
Particular night. Like, it's just...
Like, I don't get why. Like, you... Like, I would be nervous to follow you any fucking day.
I'd be nervous to follow you... LeMaire
is Bill. I'd be terrified to follow Aaron.
Yes, especially because it's two different kinds of humor. There.
Yeah,
like you're going from one
totally.
That's like, oh, well, let's bring it down a little bit.
I think that's the biggest person I don't want to follow.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, your issues with that are strange to me.
whatever. It is what it is. Yeah, I don't know. It's all the high school kids, man. It's just all the high school kids there. I like them all as people. I think they're fine people.
Some of them just try too hard. They really do. Like,
I like you and I making fun
like,
of Ben for like
the stand-ups.
Like Ben Kahn, for example.
Yeah.
He's very funny. And
I
when I tweeted last night saying like he's an underdog.
Yeah.
To me he's an unsung hero.
Yeah.
Because he goes out there, he does some of these jokes that work, but some of them he just tries a little too hard to be that edgy guy, to be
I was talking to my family about this morning because my sister and her friends were like, when I brought up Ben Kahn, and they were the ones who were laughing when he said that he was growing up. He's like, oh, I'm 18, I'm dealing with like being older.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait, are we dicks? Like, and I was like, no, that there's like a whole backstory to why that was funny to me at least, and why that was like, oh. But like for that joke, I just don't understand why your instinct is to go for that setup rather than the setup of just I can't wait till I'm older, and then get into the joke. Like, you know, like that's like you're not opening yourself up to ridicule for them laughing.
Really hard because I'm like, I'm fucking 29. Please, I'm growing up, I'm 18, fuck off.
Yeah. And like the last joke he did where he was masturbating to 12 Years a Slave, like, it's funny, I get it. You're jerking off to something you shouldn't be jerking off to. But having seen 12 Years a Slave, there's some rough shit in that movie.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking about doing a joke to that about being the sequel to Django Unchained, but I wasn't sure how to do it, and I didn't want to do it. Like, that's just something I want to do. Like, because, that was a good, like, I appreciate that movie way too much, and, like, I wouldn't want to make a joke about that movie.
Like, to me, when I did the White Power thing last night,
which I still didn't see,
and I followed it up with masturbating to American History X, like, that kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some fucked up shit in there, like him curb stomping people and, like, intense racism, but for the bit that it was doing.
But there's
like,
also
Fairuza
Balk.
Hmm?
I said, but there's also Fairuza Balk.
That is true.
With that fucking shaved head thing.
She is fucking hot.
Mm.
She's so fucking hot.
Mm.
And then it dies. If you're playing the mixing it up drinking game at home, every time the conversation dies,
or we're in a new place, or someone else is on the podcast all of a sudden.
It's called mixing it up for the goddamn reason.
Because everybody's drinking mixed drinks.
You should send this to Bill and tell Bill, like, hey, Bill, in between the breaks, just do like a turntable. It
goes into these. I end these.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do all the thing. The only thing they do, like, I send them the file.
Just put it in Dropbox and they upload it?
Yeah, and then they upload it. That's all. I do everything else.
That's what I do. I sit like, down
oh,
in the
oh, you lazy sons of bitches.
Yeah, no, Bill does everything for us.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we put him on the show.
He's like the Kevin Smith of Popular Outcast.
Oh,
he
totally
on
is.
Everything.
Yeah. He is the podfather.
Yeah.
He is.
I think I kind of wanted to use every segment of this one as its own episode. Just have... Make them wait a week to see what the fuck's gonna happen next.
Yeah, part one, like each day is a new part. Like Monday, part one.
It'll be like
Tuesday, part two.
It'll be an 8-minute podcast for
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that. I think the shortest I did was like 8 minutes. I'm like, look, I'm not doing anything this week. I don't feel like it. I'm not gonna do it.
One of those.
I hate doing this shit. I'm done. And then the next week, I didn't mean it.
I'm sorry, guys. Here's 3 hours.
Exactly.
Because you had a couple long ones, didn't you?
Yeah, the Her episode was
that was
the
like,
big three-ish hour.
I was going to say, I thought you had an episode that was longer than my longest. I think my longest was 240 or 245.
And I threw some songs in there, too, just so it wouldn't be like, here's me. Here's the most painfully heartbreaking part of my life.
See, mine was one with the exes where I had all my ex-girlfriends come on episode.
I haven't done that. I don't think I could because most of them are like out of state.
Yeah, well, I had to call one. But, and have a phone conversation with it, but... Yeah.
At least you didn't start your series by going, hey, this is a podcast I want to do next episode. Say, hey, here's the time my grandmother died.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the time my dog died, too.
You guys had a long one, too, the drive to Philly, right?
Yeah, that one was two and a half, maybe?
I love long podcast episodes. I love them. I like listening to them. Like, I like Pete Holmes. Like, I love when he has, like, a three-hour episode.
Well, you do the listening at work, right?
I did. I don't know, but, yeah,
like, where do you find time to... I can't just sit and listen to a podcast.
Since I
need something visual to be doing.
I have not listened to a single podcast since I moved.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which sucks, because I'm, like, 3 months now behind of, like, 30 different podcasts. But, yeah, I do listen to it at work. I had 9 hours a day where I could listen to them.
Jesus, so. iTunes is just going to explode. It's going to be, you know what? Fine, if you don't want to listen to them, unsubscribe.
I don't know. I think my app on my phone is up to like 50 unlistened podcasts.
Oh, so. I don't even use iTunes. The only reason I have an iTunes account was to comment. I use it just to rate, review, and subscribe to my friend's podcast. But no, I don't use iTunes. I use Apple.
Who the fuck doesn't use iTunes?
My grandmother uses
this guy.
Real Player.
Hmm?
My grandmother uses Real Player. I can't listen to my Pavarotti, Granny. Just put the CD in the player. No, it just doesn't. Just put it in and hit play. Oh, it's working now. Of course, you bet you.
I forgot Real Player was a thing.
It's a thing. A thing and a half. With my iTunes, for a while, I was backed up to like over 180 because I was following the Star Wars Minute podcast where they analyzed every single minute of Star Wars.
Gotta be done. It has to be done.
And after a while, like, they had a guest that was like some 12-year-old boy from like Brooklyn. I'm like, you've lost credibility with me now. Like, I don't want to hear his fucking opinion.
On this minute of Star Wars?
Yeah, like, it was like minute 56 or something. I'm like, I don't want to hear about your life, kid.
Before I worked the third shift, like, I used to listen to like maybe like one or two a week.
Yeah.
And then I really got into, like, a couple, so I listened to a little more, and then I got that third shift job, so then when I left there was, like, 33 podcasts I listened to regularly, like, every week, or every couple days, depending if it was, like, The Nerdist or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I worked 9 hours a night, so I had 9 hours
a day. Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't difficult to do.
Yeah.
Well, working in radio, you really can't listen to podcasts, because you're doing other things.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm at home, and to keep my Minecraft habit down, I'll listen to, like, a podcast or two to get, like, an hour and a half at all Minecraft while listening to
if I'm playing a game, like, if I'm playing a video game at the time that is not very narrative,
mm-hmm.
that's what I'll do. I'll mute it, and I'll, like, when I was addicted to NBA 2K,
mm-hmm.
that's what I would do. I'd listen to podcasts and just my player all day long.
Interesting.
Gotta win as many championships as I can. Try to get in that Hall of Fame. I'm coming for you, Jordan.
Oh, I want to tell you, by the way, I watched stand-up recommended by you.
John Mulaney Newintown?
John Mulaney Newintown.
So fucking good.
Who?
John Mulaney's Newintown?
Oh, John Mulaney. I thought the last name was Mulaney's Newintown. I'm like, what?
No, yeah. Loved it.
It's so good.
Very good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix now.
Oh, I have to check that out. What's the last stand-up that you, besides John Mulaney's Newintown, that you watched that was like, this is, why should I do comedy anymore?
Like for the first time?
Or like the most recent one that you saw,
like one that broke my spirit, like that was like, this is too good, I should never do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oof.
I haven't seen it, like, cause I just put those those people in a different stratosphere as me. Mm-hmm. So when I watch those, they're ones that I'm like, this is why I should do stand up. Like,
yeah,
like,
I definitely
when I watched Bo Burnham's What, I was like, damn.
That I was done. I was like, I broke my spirit. Oh, I'm like, why bother?
Because that was like, this is what everyone should be doing
exactly.
with their time.
And I'm like, he's 22?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Bo
Burnham. Yeah, exactly. So good.
I don't like Bo Burnham.
But the one that broke my spirit is I see people at my mom break my spirit sometimes. Like, I think it was 2, maybe 3 months ago, Aaron Dews went up, like, second to last or something, and destroyed, and I was just like... And then, oh, it was 2 months ago. Aaron Dews went up, third to last, and I closed. Aaron Dews went up, destroyed, and then I closed and did not do very well. And I was like, I'm the worst. never again.
I'm trying to think. I think Brian Posehn's, what was his last album? I can't...
The Fartist.
Yeah, I love Brian Posehn. Love him.
There's a lot of albums that, like, I listen to, like, old Mitch Hedberg stuff. Like, those are the albums, like, In Stores Now or Sandwiches and Cats with Michael Showalter or I Am a Wonderful Man, Michael Ian Black. Like, those are the albums I listen to. I'm like, this makes me want to do
actually,
comedy.
I know what it was. Tig Notaro's Live.
That was...
I think from all the comedy I've ever listened to in my life... I would put that as the one single best set I've ever listened to.
And I will agree with you.
It's
I've never perfect. Cried so hard.
Or laughed. And laughed, yeah, both.
It's, at the same time, too, like, it's... do you know the story behind it, or who Tig Notaro is?
I know who Tig Notaro is.
Well, it apparently, like, she had found out, like, a week prior that she had cancer.
Oh, yeah, I've
heard
it.
And she just went up for 30 minutes and talked about, like, I've got cancer.
Yeah.
Breast cancer, both breasts.
Yeah.
This is a month or two after her mom died.
She just broke up with her girlfriend
and then goes up on stage and just
I think Louis C.K.'s site has it for like $5 and now it's on iTunes too. But as soon as it came out, I'm like, I must own this.
And just like everything that is good about stand-up, like crowd work, she does fantastic crowd work dealing with pretty much what are grieving people listening to her.
Yeah.
Like, and then just spilling her fucking soul. It's fantastic. I would say that's the one thing, like, if I could ever if I could ever attain to do a stand-up thing, like, that would be the perfect
step. So, you listened, you're like, I kind of want to have cancer now.
No. why can't my parents just die so I can tell them? I actually started writing jokes about my parents dying
for when
they die.
For when they die!
I actually have a great
preemptive.
One.
Just wake up, hey, are you guys done yet?
No. No. I actually have one on my phone right now.
You call them every morning?
Just
to see if they finally kicked it?
No, I just have one that says, go on stage, say, so yesterday I had two parents. Today I only have one. And then no one's going to laugh. I'm like, oh, I should have known this wouldn't be a math joke. I think that's such a funny joke. And plus, I'd probably be crying while I say it, which would make it that much better. But yeah, you don't prepare for the future?
No, I don't prepare for when my parents will die.
I prepare for my parents' death by writing jokes about it now.
Nope. That makes sense.
I have a tight ass. Yeah.
You're going to mics where nobody knows you just to tighten it up.
I actually have a
It's just like you can pretend it's the first time you've done it and you're killing it.
Actually, you walk up stage, like, drop the mic. His parents just died. He's dropping the mic.
I have
a lot of different jokes about really horrible life things that haven't happened to me yet. So just so when they do happen, I already have them, so in case I'm not in the right mindset to write good jokes.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any jokes that are therapeutic for you?
That are what?
Like jokes that help you get over things that have happened to you in the past, like therapeutic.
Well, like I told you about the one, you and I talked about that whole, the me getting pulled over and then telling the why I have a guilty face.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of that is, like, I get told, I'm going to say almost once a month, and I have for about the last 20 years, you look guilty. People just tell me I look guilty all the time.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get it. I don't know why I have a guilty face. But people just say, oh, you look like you're doing something. Or why do you look guilty? And so, like, I just found one way to joke about it. And, like, this is why I look guilty. I look guilty because boom, 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 all this shit. But then I just have to have a premise by it, so I figured the premise would be being pulled over by a cop, and then him saying I have a guilty face, because that actually happened once also. I got pulled over, and it's like, oh, you look like you're up to... Or I think what he said, he didn't say I look guilty, he said I look like I'm up to trouble, or something like that. I'm like, it's like 9 o'clock at night, I just want to shoot. but I just don't know, I don't have the kick. I don't have that punchline that will just make all of the trauma worth listening to.
I'm working on one about a friend of mine who died in high school. That'll be semi-therapeutic, and it goes into like, because the premise is basically like he died and I had like no emotional reaction to it. Like it was like hearing like that my milk spilt. And so then that goes into like my more emotion, like problems like with having not great emotions. but I actually did it at the Garfields open mic, and the reason why I didn't do it at my mom last night is because I don't think it's ready yet, and the people who came to see me from there like know that kid, and I feel like if it's not good enough, I don't want people who actually know him to see it and like maybe like upset them because of some way. Sure. I want to work on it more.
Of course.
But the interesting thing, I think the beginning isn't getting the feeling I want, because I want it to be like yours, where like the beginning is very sad and then we move into a joke. Because like I was telling the beginning, and he died from like a rare blood disorder that I don't even know like what it is. It's just some weird rare blood disorder. And I got heckled with, was it AIDS? So like apparently, apparently it's not getting the mood I'm thinking I want to go for. If someone's gonna yell,
that's
like I wanted to be like, there's no way anyone would ever yell. Is it AIDS?
So I figured for mine, there is no way someone can heckle these things.
Right.
Like people, and I don't want to talk about it on here. I'll probably just bleep this part. But like, no one's gonna heckle me when I say like and feeling guilty because of that.
Yeah.
Who is gonna heckle that?
I don't doubt that there's someone out there who would.
Well, I'm sure there is, but like I'm gonna go into that whole story.
Yeah.
Like just going like a minute or maybe 30 seconds of like how that thing, or like making fun of like all this like deep shit that like hopefully I would be able to cry from on stage. But at the same time, I can't picture someone who could heckle that. Like, how is that possible to heckle? Like I mean, at least like I mean I don't but see, to me, who could heckle like your friend's blood disorder, who died?
It happened, and then I said, it's not AIDS. It wasn't AIDS. And then he said, yeah, but are you sure? It took until I said, I know, dude was a virgin. He said then, you could get AIDS from other things.
Oh my God.
And then he was done.
Jesus. See, that's the thing like about being him and mom is that room is so supportive. And if you're not doing well, people will politely just go, okay, I'll just wait until he finishes.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's like, it's a really fun, it's a great show to do, but is it that useful?
I'm not going to lie, it's not.
Yeah.
Because when you get out there, there's going to be people that talk no matter what.
Yeah.
And I've spent time, like, because I used to write for my cousin who did stand-up. When we'd be at locations, so before he went on stage, I would look at the crowd. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, you see that guy up front? He's been talking through everyone's set. I'm like, the second he starts to talk during yours, tear him down, and this is what
you
should say.
Well, the guy who was sitting behind me, who heckled Bill, who Bill interacted with, who was just, like, really super drunk and just talking through everyone's set.
When was this?
Last night.
Oh, at Garfield's, or this? Oh,
last night. Oh, you must have left by then.
I left right before Emery's got on stage.
Okay. He was the guy who went up and read poetry that you gave a standing ovation.
Yeah, that first one.
Yeah.
It's good.
Anyways.
Weird shit, but it was good.
He ended up getting super drunk and just talking through everyone's set with the girl sitting next to him, right?
Man. Todd, by the way.
So
I thought it was Kevin.
His last name's,
his name is,
He kept talking, and when I was going up, it was like, I was kind of hoping that guy would talk so I could tear apart, and I didn't notice him talking or anything. And then Bill, he got to Bill because everyone heckles Bill. Bill always gets heckled 100% of the time.
Yes.
And Bill went the route of like kind of, you know, like when someone's a little bit drunk, you can kind of like just kind of point out to them that they're heckling you, and then they'll realize that they're heckling you and stop. He tried to do that, but this guy was so drunk, he just kept going and kept going. And I was like, Bill, you had to tear that guy down.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Bill needs to do that. Like, Bill just needs to like
freak out on somebody.
Yeah. Like, I want to see Bill. Like, yeah, legit, like, lose his mind.
See, I always have a story in the back of my head fabricated, ready to go, in case, like, someone's heckling or something.
Oh, yeah,
like,
so
if that ever happens, I'm just going to walk off stage with the mic, sit down next to them, and go, look, my uncle raped me when I was young, too. What's your story? And, like, make it self-deprecating, but at the same time, put it on them. Like, no, like, at the family outings, like, did he put his dick in a hot dog bun like he did for me?
Yeah.
And just, like, really, like, make it all for them. I'm like, oh, then you should just shut your fucking mouth or I fuck it for you. And then get really aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then go back to the stage and then just like walk off the stage after that and be that guy. But that's always the biggest thing that scares me, because I've never really dealt with hecklers all that much. Everyone's always kind of like just shut up and been nice. Like, someone might like laugh extra hard or like make a groan, and I'll like kind of play with that, but I know it's not like boo or like this is dumb as shit.
Yeah.
Like, so that's always been weird. I've never really experienced that yet, so I don't know what I would do aside from just that fabricated story.
See, I'm pretty sure I'd be the angry guy. Like, I would be the guy. I would lose the crowd because I'm going to go off way too hard.
Yeah, I was so pissed off at that guy because I was sitting right in front of him.
Yeah.
So like, I was ready if he was saying anything. I was gonna freak out. I think
there was
which would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you lose.
There was a couple of moms ago where it was Chris Rowe's girlfriend. She had brought some friends, and the one of them would not shut her fucking mouth.
Oh my god, that was the worst.
And like the next time that they were all there, I said to Chris's girlfriend, I'm like, so is your mouthy cunt friend going to be here? She's like, no. She looked at it like she knew what had happened.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So long as we understand.
You know what you did.
Yeah, yeah. I heard what you said.
I think I'm going to call this episode because I'm pretty sure this is long and I'm going to have to actually edit a lot of it. Which means I don't want to. Yeah, so we all good with this episode?
Yeah.
Yes,
we had some
from what I heard, I approve of. Any of that human centipede shit, I can't comment on.
Well, that wasn't on the podcast. We had to take a break because there was too many kids came.
When we got there, there was no one there. Yeah. And so it was perfect. And then as soon as we recorded for like 5-10 minutes, soccer team.
I'm going to blame Mike, though, because his milkshake brought every single boy from Seals Grove to the yard. Like, there was so many
and
people.
We introduced them to Human Centipede Part 2.
Lars von Trier films.
Full sequence. It's a great movie. So, anyway, all right, so what do you guys have to plug?
I don't really plug things.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, I don't like going, you should listen to my podcast. Yeah,
I never do that. Well, normally people are like, you have a podcast? I'm like, you should not listen to it. Well, it's okay. Horrible.
So, Nick, we were talking about your podcast a little bit, though, but your podcast is Me and My Depression on the Popular Outcast Network. Find
sure
it on there.
Yep.
Do you do the Twitters, that kind of stuff?
I don't promote it at all. You can find it on that site, nickisdepressed.popularcast.com, or you can go to iTunes. Don't do the rate, review, subscribe thing. Just, if you like it, tell somebody. If not, like, I get it. Like, I realize.
Yeah, be a human. Just be a human.
Don't follow me on Twitter.
If you like it, you'll probably talk to someone about it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, though, because people have found me.
Yeah.
Like, by listening to it. Like, I'll get, like, random Facebook messages or, like, Twitter direct messages. And even, like, tweets. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, hey, thanks for listening. And B, like, okay.
I actually have a lot of random people on Snapchat now who, like, found me because of, like, because of this, which is weird.
Chris has, like, two like, high schoolers who he interacts all the time with from our podcast.
On Snapchat?
No. They like DM him on Twitter.
Good morning, friends.
No. They like DM, I guess.
Oh, that's cool.
People don't feel the need to reach out for me. I think it's because I'm kind of a douche.
Well, you have a podcast.
Yeah.
What is your podcast?
The Delusional Loners.
And where can they find it?
At delusionalloners.com, I think is probably.
You guys have you guys actually have your own like.
Yeah, we have our own setup.
Yeah.
Except. Bill really does everything for us. We seem really autonomous, but we are dependent as shit.
Do you do the Twitter and that kind of shit?
No, I never tweet.
Anything else you want to plug?
Nah.
If you're in the Pennsylvania area on April 19th.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I'm recording an album because my narcissism fuel is running low. Crank that shit up. Yeah, out my self-worth. April 19th, it's going to be at the Fraternal Order of the Eagles on West 3rd Street in Sunbury.
Sure.
Just head over to facebook.com/minmom/minmomofficial.
I think it might be South 3rd.
South 3rd Street.
Google it.
Yeah, there you go. You find information. Show up, that'd be great. I would appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of funny jokes.
I hear there's a really funny asshole opening for you.
Yeah, Aaron Juice is opening. Mike Carpenter's going to be there. And Bill is going to be on the bill as well.
Yeah.
And then me.
I'm excited. I'm super excited for that.
It's going to be a great night.
I'm excited to open, and I'm also excited to hear your shit. Like, I'm excited to hear, like, how long is your thing going to be, do you know?
I'm ballparking it between 45 minutes and an hour. Like, it's going to be a legitimate, like...
I'm super excited for that.
And it's jokes that if you go back... try not to go back and listen to my old stuff on YouTube, because a lot of that material will be there. But there's also new jokes that I'm working on, and some of these are going to be fantastic. I've been testing them out at Mike's down in Baltimore. They're getting some warm reactions, which means they're going to kill over at Minmom.
Oh, yeah. Bill's going to die.
Yeah, Bill's going to shit himself.
If you get chuckles anywhere else, it'll kill at Minmom. Yeah. If your grandma thought that joke was funny, it'll kill at Minmom.
They're going to suck your dick.
I'm waiting for Bill's laugh. Because you know if he's there, you're going to hear his laugh so much.
That he's going to be at the end or the beginning of the album, I might do a little like just beforehand, like, hey, thanks for buying the album. Blah, blah, blah. Before we get into it, there's a drinking game. Every time you hear Bill laughing, here's a sample. Oh shit! Like that kind of thing. Every time you hear that, just take a drink.
You might have some deaths on your hand. Anytime Bill starts sounding like he's gonna die, finish your drink.
How much longer do you think before Bill throws up? From laughing.
Oh my god,
I wanna be the first person to make Bill vomit.
He almost did it when I did the nonstop one.
Yeah.
There was a one part and everyone's like, no, you gotta wait.
Yeah, that was great.
Like,
I saw him was when Lenny Rubin was doing his the whole bit about the
The test question?
Yeah, for his mom and stuff. Dude, Bill, like, damn near lost it. Yeah. Like, he was on the floor, like, convulsing. Yeah. Like, it was rough. Like, I thought, I was worried for his health.
No, when you were doing the Nazca Bolognese, I thought you might actually murder Bill.
I kept going to him, like, no, I'm going to break him. Just let me tell him.
I'll kill my friend for comedy.
I'll fucking hit him.
All right, and yeah, you can find all of us at the Mud Mom YouTube page, Mud Mom Official. Fun hours of stand-up-y fun there and stuff and all that shit. But anyway, I got like, fuck. Yeah, the Facebook page, just search Mike's, or Mix Up with Mike Carpenter on Facebook. Go to the iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. Email me at mixingupwithmikecarpenter@gmail.com. I do look at you while I say these things.
That's fine.
Tweet, Twitter, at Mike's Shit, MikesShit. Call my Google Voice number, leave a voicemail at 702-PODCUNT. Yep.
Is that cunt with a K or cunt with a C?
Oh, that's cunt with a C.
Cunt spelled the normal way.
Okay.
Listen, normal you cunt. Made me a fucking sweet pod cunt keychain.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at that. Awesome. You should sell this. I'd buy one.
I blocked her site. She's an Etsy site.
Okay.
She made them for Mike, Bill, and Jeff also. Nice. But Morbid Ecstasy on Etsy. Look it up.
I had the time of my life with Bill last night. Who's Bill? Well, he's been in the ground for like 5 years.
Yeah, find me on Snapchat at MIUWMC. I'm on Instagram now. You can find that shit too.
Jeez.
Get my life.
You just plug everything. Just, do you want to know where you live and where you work?
He's on YouTube. His Yelp review name.
I have absolutely no problem giving out my cell phone number in this podcast.
He's on Urban Spoon.
I try to live as open of a life as possible, so like... Realistically, yeah, I want as much contact with everybody as possible.
He's on SoundCloud.
I am on SoundCloud at MikeCarpenter666.
His IRC chat number, 370-425...
I don't know what that is. That's,
was it ICQ? Was it ICQ chat?
Oh, ICQ.
Yeah, I
remember that.
I fucked it up.
AIM Rev M Carp. I'll give away as much information as I can.
Do you do the Amazon ad? Like, do you promote Amazon.com?
Yeah, I have a little creepy whisper... that people hate.
Okay.
I put the sound settings as high as possible on my mic, and I put it as close to my mouth. I just whisper. And like, I'm as steady. Mouth is so.
It feels like his tongue's in your ear.
I've heard some people say that they felt like they could feel my breath in their ear, which is why I have to keep it.
Well, I know what I'm jerking off to.
Turn it up. Just turn it up.
Turn it.
I can't think of anything else I have to plug. I'm sure there's other things, but I don't really. Feel like
if you missed anything, just go back to the last episode and listen to the last like 10 minutes.
It was like, yeah, that's the bulk of my episodes, just all the things I've plugged. But anyway, so thanks a lot, guys, for hanging out.
No, thank you, man.
I had a good time.
Had a ball.
Hooray! So I'll see you again. I probably won't see you until the 19th.
Yep.
I'll never see you again.
I'll at least be at the April one, Mom. Try to come out for your album.
Good for you.
We should just end with silence. Like a good 3 minutes of you just hear us breathing in the background.
It just cuts out.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. Hooray!